Welcome back to part two. It's the part two, part deux, if you're in France, of the podcast that you love. You know and love it. It's the Grey's Academy podcast, and we love you. And my name is Carmen, and her name is Kelsey, and we are the Wonder Twins Power Activate form of an ice menorah.
Okay, did you have a story?
I do have a story, but we could do it. Do you want to do it before? Let's start with everyone's favorite. That's everyone's favorite. Do the thing.
Charmin's having a stroke. Dude, dude. We're going to start this episode with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Shadowland.
Living in Shadowland, blah, 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 blah.
He's not doing well.
All right, wait. Sorry. All right, let's try this again. Do the whole thing again.
We're going to start this episode with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Shadowland.
Living in Shadowland. I was honestly tempted to just yell in your face.
Oh, good time. So we have two
Uncle
people.
Phil.
No.
No. Is it the girl who can't talk anymore?
Yes.
And is it Hot Doctor?
No. Oh. But I was surprised that she wasn't.
So hot and so doctor. Is it one of Can't Talk Girl's parents?
Yes.
It is the dad.
Nope.
Dang it. Flip a coin on that one.
So we have Chelsea Harris plays Lori, the daughter. She's in three episodes of Station 19 as a different person.
Dang.
Roslyn Sidewater, which is like, what a dope name.
Whoa.
Played Mrs. Boston, Lori's mother. And she was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder.
I love that. Roslyn Sidewater. Yeah. So here's my story. It's okay. A Disney story for my trip this weekend. So you know how Marlo is like kind of a crazy person and like doesn't like to sleep?
You know? Familiar.
Yeah. So she didn't take a nap once, either day. Love that for us. But the first night, she falls asleep in the middle of Fantasmic. It is loud. Yeah. And also, Fantasmic didn't even end. The dragon got stuck. So Marlo is sitting there asleep. And it was like right at the scene where the snake comes out and Mickey's like, oh no, they're going to get me. It's a snake. And I'm like, yo, dude, that's a snake. I'm a snake. And anyways, that's night number one. Night number two, we're sitting at dinner at Ohana. And she looks at me and she goes, Daddy, I would like to go to sleep in your arms right now. And I'm like,
I'm using
real?
Them to eat these shrimp.
So she and I was done with dinner at this point, but she looks at me and yeah, she's like, I would like to go to sleep in your arms right now, Daddy. And I was like, are you for real? And she goes, yeah. And she just literally got in my arms. She closed her eyes and did not move again. Also, yeah. At one point, I ate so many shrimp that the waiter came back and said, you've earned a clean plate. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm offended or if I'm honored.
It's like the opposite of the clean plate club.
Yeah.
Your plate is so dirty. We have to give you a clean plate.
And he was nice about it. He's like, and actually, it was a very Ron Swanson moment because he brought the shrimp out or the chicken out and he brought the steak out. And I'm like, I have one of each. I want to be respectful of all cuisines. And he brings the shrimp out and I'm like, sir, I need you to bring two more bowls of these. And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, trust me.
Look at me. I'm 6'2", nothing but shrimp.
And I'm all shrimp and bones. So anyways, yeah, he at one point, and Emily is just dying laughing in the corner. And yeah, I you've earned a new plate, he says to me. That's the kindest way anyone's ever called me fat in my life.
The kindest insult I've ever received.
Yeah.
So what about the did you do breakfast at the Hollywood and Dine and Dine?
Yes. Or whatever it's called? Yes.
So talk about that buffet. How did you get your money's worth there?
Well, I didn't really get my money's worth there. Mostly because, with love, gently, this is the situation. We did not enter in right away because Lauren and Sean were not there.
Yes.
So, while this is happening, because they were not there, in the chaos, I missed an alarm for a pair of shoes that I wanted. So I, number one, didn't get the shoes I wanted. Number two, Lauren and Sean weren't there, so we're waiting outside. Number three, it's approaching 10:30, and they're like, listen, guys, at 10:30, breakfast is done. We can't let you in. So we text them, and we're like, hey, you have 2 minutes, or we're entering this reservation without you. So sorry. They made it there at 10:31. We had just gone inside. So they sat them. It was fine. But like, Marlo was so starstruck with Vampirina. And okay. Shout out to Emily's mom, Beth Lewis, for making the dress. And my money's worth was in memories, not in tangible calories consumed.
Mm. I don't know if they have the churro Mickey waffles at that one, but they have them at the Crystal Palace in Magic Kingdom. Mm. And when I tell you, it changed my life to eat a churro Mickey waffle. And the waiter saw me eating it and was like, you have to have that with vanilla ice cream. And I was like, twist my arm. So I went back and got another one with vanilla ice cream. And I was like, he's not wrong. I did have to have that.
I'm not really a big breakfast buffet person because I don't feel like my body is not awake enough to yell at me to consume money's worth of foods. Like, imagine waking up and you and me doing an all you can eat sushi buffet. Like, I wouldn't be able to put it away, you know? Gotta let the day build up.
I wake up real hungry.
Oh,
although I am pregnant right now, so it's kind of like. Fair.
But anyways, I've never done a breakfast at Crystal Palace. That's on my list. I've only eaten there once.
Mm, it's fine. I mean, we have fun, but the churro Mickey waffle really upped the game on that one. I'll tell you that for sure.
Man.
Okay.
Loved it. Loved
Speaking
to hear that.
Of breakfast, I made sourdough.
Hey, how'd that
so
turn
domestic.
Out?
It was fine. I made 3 loaves because it makes, like, every time you do the feed the starter, it like makes 3 loaves. One of them was really pretty, but did not cook all the way through. And then the other two were like pretty ugly, but cooked all the way through and tasted good. So I was like, for a first time, I'm going to say this is a win. So I'm going to try again tomorrow, I think, and make more. And I might make rolls also. And then the woman who gave me the starter is one of my mom's best friends. So I was texting her about it and she was like, oh, you can also add cinnamon to it. Cinnamon sugar. And I was like, that sounds delightful.
Twist my arm.
So yeah, I am so domesticated.
Did you use Charles Boyle's family recipe?
No.
What's the deal with the starters?
These things can be
hundreds of years old.
Yeah, no, I asked for one. I didn't make my own. I said, my mom was like, oh, Nancy makes sourdough. And I was like, can I have some starter? You can make your own starter. I don't know how to do it. And I didn't want to do it. I didn't look into it. I was like, I want someone to give me this with a recipe that they have used so that I know it is doable. And I am not starting by fucking it up.
So I just did a quick research here, but it looks like Seamus Blackley, the co-creator of the original Xbox, revived a baked yeast sample from 4,500-year-old ancient Egyptian bread-making vessels.
Allegedly. Did you Google, like, what's the oldest sourdough?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, what did you Google that yielded that result specifically?
Yeah. But there is a bakery called Chrissy's Farmhouse. The noble starter dates back 900 years.
Yeah, if you're going to get it, I would say get it from someone who's already used the starter and like knows the specific recipe to go with it again, because then you just like know you have like a contact and then you also know that it's not bad.
That's crazy.
That would be my advice to anyone who's doing it.
Yeah, I don't think I can consume anything that was around, like, prior to the plague.
That's fair.
Okay, but I'm very proud of you. I did see the Instagram story of you making it. I did not know that you had completed it.
Well, that's because it's like you do the starter and then you wait like a day and then you do the dough and it has to rise overnight. And then you have to do the loaves. You have to split the loaves and then that has to rise for like another. It's very like a lot of waiting.
It's like a brisket.
A little bit.
Very labor intensive. I love that.
You really gotta earn the bread.
Yeah, you gotta earn it. All right. What do we want to start with now? What do we want to talk about?
Derek and Meredith and Lexi.
Mm.
I don't understand why Derek was so adamant to get Meredith back on Neuro. That's my first question with the storyline.
Well, because of plot points, Kelsey.
Right. I mean, they were literally.
But outside of that.
Hey, it's been a while since we made these people fight. So let's make them fight.
I like that they didn't actually make them fight, though.
I mean, they didn't make them fight in the way we've seen them fight before, but like it didn't feel good to watch them.
No. I don't yearn for their conflict. You bring up a good point. There needs to be conflict and Meredith needs to be involved in it somehow.
Yeah. So basically Derek's like, come back to Neuro. And Meredith says, no, we decided not to work together. And he's like, yeah, but that's when I was mad at you and I'm not mad at you anymore. So come back and work with me. Blah, 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 blah. It's very dumb. And it obviously ends with him getting mad. But again, another question that I have. Okay. So they have Lori who has seizure or no, she passes out and she gets dizzy and passes out because of a cyst in her brain. She also has a tumor in her brain, but it's benign. So they're like, we're not going to touch the tumor. We're just going to take care of the cyst. And then later in life, if the tumor's a problem, we'll deal with it. So Derek and Lexi have this case and Meredith is like, just kind of observing basically because he wants her to come back and he's like, come watch me so you know how much you miss it. So they go in, he has Lexi take care of the cyst and then he gets called away to a surgery with Callie. There's like a little bit of extra bleeding. So they have to take a little bit more of the skull to widen the incision basically so they can see where the bleeding is coming from to take care of it. And when they widen the cut in the skull, they see the tumor. And initially, they're both like, let's page Derek. Like, let's not touch it. Let's just wait and see what Derek wants us to do. Because, like, it's right here, but that's not what we're here for. And then all of a sudden, they just do it. And we don't see the conversation that leads to that. We just see Meredith telling Derek that it was done. And it's very confusing. Because initially they're both very hesitant and like, we're not going to touch it until we talk to Derek. So I have no idea how we got from A to B. And that was frustrating to me as far as like the writing goes. I was like, this is not believable. Like if she from the beginning had been like, yeah, fucking take it out. Let's go. That would to me would be more believable than showing me how hesitant she was. And she was like, paging Derek multiple times. Like that was really confusing to me. And especially because I don't think that Lexi would just give in either.
Yeah, it felt weird to me. It felt very conflicty. They just needed to write something.
Yeah.
But also, they have phones in these surgery rooms. Like, just say, like, hey, Derek, just question for you. Do we do the surgery or not?
Yeah. Also,
I don't know.
Like Derek goes from Callie surgery, then gets pulled into a surgery for Morgan's baby Tommy with Alex, which like is a whole other thing. But so he was supposed to originally be gone for like maybe 5-10 minutes, I guess. But then it becomes longer. Again, though, they say they paged him. It's just that's to me really where this storyline lost me was I was like, how did we get here? I'm on Derek's side. A, she didn't consent to that surgery.
Correct.
B, it was technically unnecessary. And C, they didn't have permission to do it. Like, I don't like that he yelled at Lexi. I don't think you should yell in a workplace setting. Other than that, I'm fully on his side, which I hate to say. You know, I hate to say it. I hate to give Derek any credit ever, but he's correct.
Yeah, it's. And here's the thing. Meredith knows how particular Derek is.
Yeah.
And yeah, what he said was right. What in the yelling, I had the captions on, and I think it was something to the effect of you stick to the surgical plan, and mm-hmm. if you see something else, then you revise the plan.
Yeah, and like, he says, like, oh, if you had planned to do this surgery, then the plan would have been to go in this way. Yeah. Also to note, she does wake up with damage from the tumor removal.
Yes,
that's the issue.
Correct.
That's part of the issue. Even if she had woken up fine, I would still be like, that was fucked up. You shouldn't have done that. But she wakes up and she has aphasia, which I did do a little research on, because sometimes when I remember, this is a teaching hospital, and aphasia can be caused. There's a bunch of different ways that aphasia is caused, but it's like the damage to this very specific part of your brain. But the internet made it seem like almost always you can get some level of communication back. Like,
well, he did
mainly
say
with
therapy.
Speech therapy. Yeah, but yeah. Like speech therapy, but they were acting like this is just it forever. She's never going to have words. She will only be able to like cry and yell.
And good, which is great as a like newly
as a lawyer.
graduated lawyer. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's also, and you know what? I understand that like in time, 2012 doesn't feel that long ago, but in medicine time, like 13 years is, there's a crazy amount of advancements that would happen. So maybe
oh, yeah.
what they know about it now is different than what they knew about then. But I just feel like, yeah, the internet made it seem like, and granted that my source is the internet. So, but the internet made it seem like, a large amount of people who suffer from aphasia are able to regain a decent amount of communication with speech and occupational therapy.
They need to do a Grey's episode of where are they now? And it's like Lori just fully recovered. Like,
yeah, running a law firm.
Yeah. Running a law
She's
firm.
She's the Attorney General of the United States. Mm. She's David Rosen.
Well, after David Rosen got, you know,
exactly.
So remember when Gary Clark was there too?
Good times. Yeah, that was just the weird. They were just overall as a storyline. I'm like, I guess it's fine. I just thought why and how multiple times.
Correct.
So it was like they were like, I guess we got to give something to Meredith and Derek because we haven't really done anything with them in a while.
Yeah,
that's kind of how it felt.
I like they're happy. I mean, well, they just got Zola. So like,
yeah,
that's
which
been
is
kind
fine. I'm
thing.
Happy
yeah,
to see them happy.
Yeah, we love joy. The drama sometimes can just be joy. Like the psychological damage that Shonda has done, sometimes it's just enough.
Yeah, we you can know? Have a break.
Yeah. I did do also this is a teaching hospital, damn it. I did a quick Google search. The first documented successful brain surgery is credited to Scottish surgeon William McEwen, who performed a brain tumor removal in 1879 on a 14-year-old girl patient who survived and lived for several years after that.
Well, there you go.
I was just curious. I was like, how long have we been doing surgery on the brains? Because like,
it's
who
kind
is
of
the
crazy.
Like, imagine you're Julius Caesar and you've invented the cesarean section. And then you also are like, but what if we cut open a brain?
what we knew about medicine in the long ago. Like they were literally like, do you have a cold? We're going to have to empty out all your blood. Like it's wild that we have like survived as a species.
Yeah. Or like, hey, we're going to just electrocute your brain and see what happens.
Yeah. Like, ooh, you're saying some things we don't love. Lobotomy.
Yep.
Oh, you have bad dreams. Lobotomy.
Yeah. Got a little
ooh,
bit of a
you're stressed out. Lobotomy.
Got a little bit of eczema. Banished to an island. Bye.
Bye-bye. Ooh, having a baby. Dying in childbirth.
Yep. Goodness. What a time. And to think, indeed, we've made virtually no progress.
Here we are. I do wonder about C-sections, though. I don't want to look it up.
What do you mean?
Like, the first person that was like, oh, the baby's not coming out the way all the other babies came out, let's just slice open her stomach.
So, while the term cesarean section is thought to have originated from the Roman Emperor Julius Caesar, who is rumored to have been born via this method,
you are
Hold on. I'm looking at it right now. I just Googled it. The last line of that was, however, there is no historical evidence to support this claim. The earliest recorded successful C-section is believed to have been performed in 1500 in Switzerland by Jacob Nefur, a pig gelder.
It's quite a name.
Performed the operation on his wife.
Did she live?
Yeah, she went on to have five
more children. Crazy.
Also, his name is not Jacob Nefur, a pig gelder. It's Jacob Nefur. He was a pig gelder.
I see. That makes way more sense.
I'm like, what do you think? I thought you were
just like continuously making noise. And I was like, that's too much name.
First name Jacob, last name Nefur, a pig gelder.
Yes. Well, you were like Switzerland. They got weird names over there.
Oh, that's true.
I'm glad we could all learn that together.
We've learned so much. You know, we haven't learned though, is something about Jackson and the Avery family. We should learn about them.
Well, do you have anything else to add about Meredith and Derek and Lexi and Lori?
You know, I'm bummed that the start of this episode was them being very cute in the bathtub and sensual, and it ended with them just laying on the bed. Although, props to him, and I think he's not lashing out because he recognizes, like, if I didn't force Meredith to be on my service today against her wishes, none of this would have happened.
The communication in that scene does speak to their level of understanding of each other.
Yes.
Because she's like asking him these questions to find out what it is he needs. And he's answering them honestly. And he's not like telling her to just shut up and leave him alone. He's just answering the questions honestly. And so they get to this result where they're just laying in the bed together. So I do think there is something to be said for that, because you and I definitely don't communicate that way with our spouses. We have, and our spouses have, sometimes less patience for when anger is around. So I will credit them with, it does seem like they have an understanding of how to kind of deal with those emotions, and also kind of remembering that work and the relationship need to be separated to an extent. And grace must be given in that way.
Yeah. And now they have Zola. So like,
so true.
It's okay. I mean, there was that scene where Meredith is kind of like, I was kidnapped. And then, you know, she talks about how, wow, Derek, you pulled me back into neuro to see my sister do a boring surgery. Like, great. Whoop-de-doo. And then it turns out, you know, you just, you know, brain damaged someone.
Right.
Or gorked her, which is at one point what they said in April's office. Yeah, they say that office. A lot. Yeah. And I like that scene where Derek and Meredith are arguing, and she's like, well, you can't tell Lexi, like, it would devastate her, or she wouldn't like handle it great. And he's like, well, then she shouldn't be a fucking surgeon.
Which I agree with.
Yeah. And then Meredith does break the news to Lexi. It's a bummer. It's sad. But Meredith also knows Derek well enough to be like, look, just let him get it out. Take it. Move on. Don't ever let it happen again.
Yeah.
So those were like a couple of scenes that stood out to me. I feel bad. Like, what's her name? Lori?
Yeah.
He takes the blame for Meredith right there in front of the family. They yell and they're like, I'm going to sue. It's intense and it sucks. You know, but I even made this note before things went awry, when they're looking at the brain and it's open and they find the second tumor. I said, a bird in the hand seems like it's a topical, you know, turn a phrase here. Let's not get greedy. You got the cyst. Let's close up. So I knew that was
two birds, one stone.
It's true. But sometimes you could have two birds and one stone in the hand. And then
sometimes you could have two stones, one bird. So who's to say?
Who is to say?
Okay. So yeah, Jackson and his mama. They're there. She shows back up with a spy to spy on him.
Like I said. Like I said.
And Jackson is like telling Mark, oh, you know, make sure you tell my mom that I can't go spend any time with her. And Mark is immediately like, you should go away with your mother's fellow.
Yeah. As soon as he sees that she's hot, and she makes kind of eyes at him the second they meet, they like really set it up very early that, oh, they're going to smush.
Jackson or Mark?
No, the everything.
Yeah. So well, my Dr. thing is, Keaton. I literally was like watching her because she did make eyes, but she kind of made eyes at both of them. And I was like, because I don't remember this episode very well because nothing happened. I was like, does she sleep with Mark or Jackson? Because I knew she slept with somebody, but I was like, which one of them does she sleep with? How funny would it have been if she slept with Mark?
Yeah. Yeah. Very funny. But then
Mark,
you know,
is obviously still on his like, oh, that's right. I forget. Still on his get laid so that you are less annoying to me.
Yeah, he folds immediately.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, give her a tour, it'll be so good for everybody. Jackson's mad. Then he basically tells the girl, I'm not interested in sex. She's like, so great that you thought your mother brought me here as a fucking concubine, but that is in fact not the case.
Yeah, that scene. I also listen, for the record, I also was being led there with where Jackson was seeing it, because there's that scene where they're in the operating room and she's like going over, her dad was like a director professor at like Oxford or something, like she's kind of big time, blah blah blah, and he's like, oh, this is a setup, and it's not.
No, but he, like, her saying, I have, like, family in medicine is not a one-for-one with him being like, this woman is here to sleep with me. Like, that's what he does, but that is inaccurate.
Yeah. Causation
versus correlation. Now,
obviously,
they sleep together because Grey's Anatomy. But yeah. I'm on her side when she's like, that's gross that you would assume that.
Now buy me lunch.
Now, yes. Buy me lunch.
That scene with Mark and him.
Tell me something to tell your mom.
Yeah. That scene with Mark and him where he's like, because he runs away. He ditches her.
Yeah.
And when he refers to her as Dr. Hotness, I love that. But when he's like, you and Dr. Hotness should be getting busy if you get my point. Actually, she should be getting your point. And when he goes, what are you, 12? And I'm like, this is like a peak Carmen humor. This is all very funny.
So,
and then
so true.
He goes, it's called passing on wisdom. I love it. It's so funny. Mark is funny. Give this man some more comedic lines.
Yes. So then they're like, he tells her like, oh, you have to stand up to my mother. And she's like, the easy for you to say, that's your mom. Like, this is a woman who like is in control of my entire career, essentially, blah blah blah. And he's like, well, this is what you do. And so then they get all dressed up and tell her like, we're not going with you to the gala, blah blah blah. And then they go have sex. That's basically the story.
Yeah, it's funny to watch her stand up to what's her name,
Catherine.
And she kind of folds right away. Jackson's like, guns, dude, guns, let's do this. So she does it. And then she's getting ready to turn the corner and like really lay into it. And yeah. Catherine's like, you're going to want to stop right there.
Yep.
And
stop.
Even Jackson's like, yeah, 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 you did it. Good job. Pause.
Yeah, let's pump the brakes.
And that was nice. That was a funny scene.
Also, the reason Catherine is there is to replace a woman's bladder with a bladder that they grew from that woman's stem cells. That's cool. This is also happening simultaneously with Richard has moved Adele into Rose Ridge, but he's still like, is there a lot to try and see her? So he's not getting in a lot of rest because he's like there until she falls asleep and then tries to get there before she wakes up in the morning. So he's sleepy. Catherine's flirting with him all day, all the live long day. And Bailey is not impressed with it. She is a little like, maybe set a boundary. Catherine asks Richard to go with her to the gala. He initially says yes, and then he's like, no, I need to be a good man for my wife. And he is. Not a whole lot to that story. It's just kind of him like, you kind of, he's just wavering and like, what do I do? And Bailey's like, you're killing yourself to be there for your wife, but like, you still need to take care of yourself. And then Richard, you know, he has this moment of vulnerability with Catherine where he says, like, my wife doesn't know who I am.
Do you have the full receipts for that? I'd love to have the full receipts, and I'd love to take a quick message from our sponsors while you both yawn and pull that up. We'll be right back after these messages.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
And we're back. Yeah, I'd love that. I really like the scene. I'd love the monologue receipts if you got it.
Which one? The one with Richard and Catherine or the one with Richard and Miranda?
Richard and Catherine.
Okay. He says, I'm sorry I can't go. She's like, is it because I've been flirting with you? Blah, blah, blah. And then he says, or she says, your wife has nothing to worry about. And he says, my wife has Alzheimer's. How bad? It's bad. She's in a care facility. I go see her every night. She usually doesn't know who I am. She knows I'm a friend, but she's not there. And I miss her. I miss laughing and talking. I miss feeling like a man, not just a friend. Today, I wasn't lonely. Today, I felt like a man and it felt good. So I don't trust myself going to dinner with you tonight. And my wife needs me and I need to see my wife. And he says, she says, you are a good man. You know that. And he says, I'm trying. Thank you for a lovely day.
There's a lot to unpack there. Yeah. And it's important to note that's on the heels of the scene with Bailey and him, where she basically is like, look, there's flirting for fun and flirting for profit. And like, maybe there's a difference between what you're doing and what would you say Dr. Winky Pants are doing. Yeah, so
like, we know that you're a good man, but you need to make sure Dr. Winky Pants knows you're a good man.
Yeah. So when he goes down to Catherine, he's in his full tux and she's like, oh, thank God. I thought you were going to stand me up. And he's like, yeah, you know,
good news. I am.
Yeah. Good news. You were not wrong. Yeah, there's a lot in that scene that I got emotional when I was watching that scene a little bit, because that one and the Uncle Phil scene, there's a lot of like loss that's happening, like very subtle loss, right?
Yeah.
There's the loss of someone who's already passed mentally and they're physically having to say goodbye. And then now, and that's Uncle Phil. And Richard is going through the slow, agonizing physical and mental loss of his wife, who like is still fully alive, but at any moment can pop back in. So it's just hard. And that line where he said, I need, like, today I felt like a man, and he says, thank you for a lovely day. I'm like, whoa, whoa. That was just so profound. Very interesting.
He's being very honest with himself and with Catherine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's sad. Obviously, what he's going through with Adele is sad. But he is, you know, it's also important to remember that he slept with Ellis and he is going to feel guilty about that for forever. So,
yeah, because maybe he's, you know, he's become a good man. He's trying.
Yeah, he is trying. I think he's doing a great job. But he's also, like, running himself ragged, trying to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of those things where, like, oh, you have to take care of yourself to be able to take care of anyone else. But it's hard to do that. It's easy to say it and harder to do it.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I don't know that if I was in that situation, I could have done it.
Yeah.
I don't know that if I could have not gone.
Yeah.
Because it feels like those two have a history and it's like a passing ships kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because she even has that intense scene where she's telling Weber about the
being an Avery.
Yeah. She used to be Catherine Fox and now she has to do Harper Avery level work, but with no recognition because she can't physically win the award.
Yeah.
And that her Jackson's dad burnt out. I don't know if that means he died or he's still around. We've only met her and the Harper Avery.
Mm-hmm.
But actually I originally thought that it was her last name and she just kept it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackson took her last name. That's crazy.
She married into it and then, was better at it than the actual Avery that she married.
That's crazy.
So that tells you, I think, a lot about the pressure associated with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good for you, good woman times. Power.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, Alex and Morgan.
Weird.
I was actually surprised you didn't mention this last week. Because they were planting those seeds last week.
I don't know that I felt it.
Very end of last week's episode, when they're like sitting at the incubator, they have like a lingering moment of looking at each other. Hi.
Hey.
So, I don't think I noticed that.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. No, I did not notice that. I think
I was very surprised last week when you were like, you didn't say like, oh, they're having sex right now.
I actually still don't think they're going to do it. I don't think that they're going to fall in love. I don't think it's going to be a hookup. If they end up being together, this is it. This is end game for Alex. He's finally getting his full life, even if it is because of another man's seed.
Don't be gross.
But yeah. You said do be gross?
Don't be gross. It's also so at this point one-sided. Like, I really genuinely don't think Alex sees it until the end of this episode. Like, he's denying it, and then I think when they take the picture, he's like, ah, shit.
She's smitten kitten. And of course, Callie, of all people, is the one who's like, dude, you know that shit on Animal Planet where the gorillas, like, raise the little baby kitties? It's not because they're cute. It's because there's science. They're imprinting. It's because
they have nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a weird back and forth with them. They're definitely at a level of comfort that the average patient doctor are not at together. And then also the level of comfort beyond intern and resident.
Too much comfort.
Yeah.
Because the first time we see them, it's with what's it called? Christina walks in on them. Walks in on them. And then after that, it's the
meeting with Arizona, Teddy, and Callie, where they're like talking kind of like what the plans are for Tommy. And then, yeah, it's just like a lot of back and forth. He's like, you need to eat this scone. She's like, you can't scrub in. You're up all night, blah, 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 all this stuff. Just like a banter, a very comfortable relationship-y banter. And everyone, Callie and Teddy, are both like, this is fucking weird, right? And Arizona's like, they're definitely not hooking up. That's inappropriate. And I have fixed Alex. So he's not doing that.
I mean, he's not lying. They're not hooking up.
They're not. And again, I don't think he even sees it as anything other than friendship at this point.
Which, good on him, you know?
Yeah.
Because that scene in April's office where they're just always pillaging Raples. April.
Oh, that's a bummer.
They're always pillaging
April's refrigerator for jambalaya.
And also, how bad is this jambalaya?
No, it's good.
No, they said it's like salmonella. They said they can't eat it.
The jambalaya was what April made. I was not paying attention.
April made some sort of turkey. Some turkey thing.
Oh, tetrazzini. Yeah.
And the other like, oh, we can't do jambalaya. Even Jackson later on is like, no, we're not going to the cafeteria. It's jambalaya day.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, they're raiding April's fridge constantly. But I like that moment because it's like all of them together having their little back and forths, stealing food. So Alex is like, I got to feed Morgan. She hasn't eaten it all because I love her, even though he doesn't. But yeah, he's being very like caregivery for sure. Very, I'm going to rescue you.
Yeah. And it's not, to me, I think people are seeing what happened with Ava Rebecca and getting the PTSD. Also, when the false equivalence, when Meredith's like, you're going to fall in love with this person and then she's going to pee on my couch. And I'm like, what?
How? It's a few steps in between.
Yeah. Also, Alex doesn't even live with you right now. I think he lives in the Airstream, but I don't actually know where Alex is living.
Yeah.
No. Alex lives with Jackson and April.
Yes.
Yes. Correct. But we've not seen their house.
Correct.
Yet.
So
there'd be a lot of steps that would lead to this girl peeing on Meredith's couch.
Yeah. Also, Ava Rebecca was crazy already. She already had mental instability, and then they gave her a new face. Obviously, she cannot cope with that.
Yeah.
Without the appropriate mental help.
They went full Iron Man versus Thanos and threw a fairy at her, like, you know, Iron Man got a moon thrown at him.
Exactly like that.
Remember when Iron Man was Iron Man?
Remember when we saw that in Rome?
I do. I think about that a couple times a week.
It's good times. It's good times.
I haven't even seen the new Captain America movie.
Expensive spaghetti.
Ah, yes. The $120 spaghetti.
My mom is going to many parts of Italy in May. And I was like, are you going to the Vatican? And she was like, yes. And I was like, don't eat at the place right across from it. I was like, yeah. I mean, it's good food, but it is expensive.
Yeah. Just as a rule of thumb, and shout out to all of our Italian friends, if you put no prices on your menus, just be skeptical, folks.
Also, if it's directly across from, I don't know, one of the biggest tourist attractions in the world, assume that they're charging a shit ton of money because they know that you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
That was on us.
Yeah. But you know
that
what?
That was a good story. It's fine.
Yeah. It's the best of stories. We gotta get back to Europe. So we gotta do.
We really do. Really gotta get over there. Gotta get to Germany's.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. Okay. What else? Anything else with Morgan and Alex, I guess?
No.
The baby is still a lot happening with this baby. He had a brain bleed and a heart thing. And the brain bleed got worse because of the heart thing. So then Derek had to come in. That was.
Yeah. And Alex was like, no, we must get Derek Shepherd.
He's getting Derek.
And when he walks in, he's like, Derek, Tommy's drowning in a well. And Derek's like, who the hell is Tommy? Like, yeah. And why do I care?
So true.
I do want to also make sure we point out that the lady who got the new bladder was so, so very sweet.
She was funny. And she's just living her life. And she's so happy to be able to laugh and not pee on herself. Which I feel like is a it's like a pretty basic thing to want in life.
Yeah. Just to like not laugh too hard that you pee every time. I like laughing so hard. I don't think I've ever laughed so hard that I've peed.
I have not in adulthood. I maybe did as a kid. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not in recollection.
I can't think of that.
Okay. Is there anything else with anybody else?
Let me take a quick walk down my notes. Let's see. Oh, that kind of like a throwaway line. It was funny to me, though, is when right before the dumb gorilla line, she is seeing Alex and Morgan walk by, and Morgan's like, oh man, you're just being on my case for all the surgeries, you got 2-for-1 surgeries on my kid. And Alex says, your son's a gold mine. I just think that's funny.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's it. A lot of side eye from Bailey in this episode in general. Yes. Every time she was in the room when Weber and Avery were flirting, it was top notch, like absolutely top notch.
Yeah. And she's like, I feel like I need a shower.
Yes. Oh, so good. She just gets such good lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and also, hold on. What's your take on the sharing of trail mix? I don't think I would share trail mix with anyone at all. In that kind of context, Christina and Meredith walk up on Emily and Owen, they're sharing trail mix.
Yeah. I mean,
I would share trail mix with a very close friend, or I would just pour a little bit into my hand. I'm not taking their whole bag from them. Like, I'm not taking their leftovers. Like, oh, I didn't finish this. You want it? No, I don't want that.
Well, some people would, especially nurses and doctors. They're not getting enough breaks. They're hungry. I didn't think it was that big a deal. I will say, I feel like it does imply that there is a level of friendship, because you're not going to do that with someone that you like never talk to.
Right.
But I also don't think it implies sleeping together.
No.
To me, it's just like more flirting.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, let me have some trail mix. Give me some raisins. Ah.
I saved you my nuts.
See, I didn't want you to take it there, but it's my fault for starting it. So.
No, it's okay. I think we're both to blame equally.
That's probably never true, but that's all right. So yeah, I didn't think it was like that big of anything either way. I was like, okay, if you're like looking for things, you could make it into something. I definitely think it establishes that they have a relationship. That does not mean it is a naked relationship.
Yeah, it does not mean that their genitals are rubbing against each other.
Correct. While seeding trail mix.
Yeah.
So
the last thing I want to say about this episode before we move on to any predictions, which I think I've done some of, not all, that doctor was hot, very hot.
And the British one?
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm glad, I'm excited to see how Mark handles being around Jackson now that he's quote unquote blown off some steam.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, so, okay, predictions.
Christina and Owen break up before the end of the season, okay?
Okay.
And Jackson, I think, is going to continue to, or not continue. He's going to be done being stressed. I do think that him and April are going to get together. If they put Alex and Morgan together, fine, I'm okay with it, but they need to get married. I don't think the kid's gonna make it though. Like, I'm concerned. I think this kid's gonna die. I think that Mark and Julia are going to be together through the end of this season, but I think Lexi is going to eventually kiss Mark at some point. I think that's going to happen in the next two episodes. She's just going to plant one on him. Derek is going to not talk to Lexi for all of 20 minutes. He'll be fine next episode halfway through. I think that Adele still is going to die very soon, and Weber is going to be going stag. And we didn't see Warren at all in this episode, so I just hope that Bailey and him are doing well. And I also think, who else is there to talk about? Teddy is still going to be mad at Owen, and that's all I got. I think that's all I got for predictions.
Do you still think, I think you had said that she was going to leave, and then you said she was going to stay and forgive Owen.
It's tough to tell. It's one of the two.
She will either leave or she will stay.
Yeah, or it could be something else. It's either she leaves.
What's the secret third option?
She dies in the hospital and she becomes a ghost. That would be
both leaving and staying.
I know.
I guess.
That's the third option.
It's the secret third option.
I think that's everyone. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really expand on her at all in this episode, so it's kind of hard to say. Do you have anything for Derek and Meredith?
No, but they're going to be fine by next episode. I think maybe this is
he could just stop bullying her.
Yeah. Let her just be a general surgeon. Like her mother before her.
Exactly. Okay. Well, let's rate it.
I give this a 3.7.
Really?
It's like better than average, but it's like just not a 4 in any stretch.
I think it's a 3. I think it is an episode. It's actually, to me, like kind of less dramatic than the average from a medical side. Less dramatic for Grey's. But then you have like the like personal drama is the very last line, obviously. But yeah, for me, I'm like, that's an episode of like a little better than last week, but not by much.
Yeah, I liked the Uncle Phil reveal that brought it up a couple points in my book. And I think there were two really good monologues. There was the Uncle Phil monologue and the Richard Weber monologue that like really, I think, set it apart a little bit. And also, anytime you get a cameo from an Avery was nice. And a special guest hot doctor made it nice, too. So, yeah, 3.7.
Yeah, I'm going to say just a 3. Like, it's just an episode of Grey's. The drama, the personal drama is definitely there and is delivered very well. I do not think the medical drama was there this one. So, we'll see what happens next week on Grey's Anatomy.
Were there any other questions we didn't get to from the Patreon?
Will Lexi learn from her mistake?
Yes.
Was Derek right to blow up at her? Derek is right to speak to her in a disciplining manner. I do not think yelling is necessary.
I say yes.
Do you think Alex will ever grow out of the need to save women in this hospital?
No. Unless he marries Morgan.
I was like, unless he seeks therapy.
Yeah, that too.
Okay, this is not, we kind of touched on this, but Zoe said, I can't find a way to word the question, but very curious to hear thoughts on the Meredith, Derek, Lexi storyline. Why did Derek set a trap for Meredith to fail? Because we all know that she has reckless tendencies, or maybe he thought motherhood would change that part of her. But also, I'm like, goddamn, Meredith, why are you doing unauthorized tumor removals? And for Lexi to go along with it was strange to me. I agree. This is.
Yeah.
And yeah, hasn't Lexi worked with Derek enough to know? And it's also like, but doesn't Derek, no Meredith. Like, this is your issue with Meredith, is that she does shit like this. But also, right, to me, it doesn't seem like it's in character that she would do this. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not great.
That was, yeah, it was definitely weird. And like, for me, the writing on the storytelling for that specific plot line is just a little unclear and murky for many of those reasons. So yeah, I think that's it for this episode. So this is episode 17, so we got 7 more to go till we're at the end of the season. So
I say,
who knows what could happen?
I say it's going to be a wild sprint to the finish line.
And I will have a baby at some point, probably before we finish this season.
Yeah, probably, unfortunately.
Okay. That sounded bad, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. I'm very happy for the baby.
On a scheduling, we're working on scheduling. We would like to try and have some of this recorded before this baby is born, but we don't know what that's going to look like. But make sure you follow us on Instagram, because we'll post all of our scheduling updates there if we have to change anything because of that. And or if you're on our Discord through Patreon, obviously we update everything there as well. You can find links to all of those things on our website, graceacademypod.com. And we love you all so much. And please keep sharing us with everybody that you see in the world, on the street, on the internet. And if you see Carmen on the street, just remember,
no spoilies. Don't even think about it. I hate spoilies, and I hate people who spoily things. But we appreciate you all, and we'll see you all in the next one.